The title of the message tonight is Saved. It's just one word, saved. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. In Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 8 through 12. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But I'd like to stop there and look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just come to you thankful, humbled, Father, for this opportunity. Father, I thank you for the opportunity it was to preach this morning at that church in Maranatha. I thank you for those people there that have continued to be faithful, Father, that have continued, Father, to assemble there, knowing that is where you added them, Lord. And Father, that you've put it in their heart to be faithful. And I thank you for that little flock over there, Father, that you've put it in their heart to understand truth. And Father, as we open your word and consider it tonight, I pray for your blessings. I pray for your help, Father. I know I am a wretched, sinful, just unprofitable creature. Without you, Father, I have nothing for these people. But Father, I ask by your Spirit you'd fill me up, that you'd give me the words that I stand in need of and that these people stand in need of tonight. And I just ask these things and I thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. But all three of the different passages we considered all speak of this one word, saved. So first, let us define what saved means. Many today, if asked what it means to be saved when applied to Christianity, would respond, you need to decide. You need to be baptized. You need to go forward at church. You need to repeat a prayer. But apply the word to any other real life situation. If you were to ask a man saved from drowning by the lifeguard, when were you saved? He would respond, when the lifeguard saved me. If you asked a man trapped in a burning building, when was he saved? He would respond, when the fireman rescued me. Why is it, when speaking of salvation from sin, the majority of so-called Christianity would have you believe that some work on your part is somehow related to being saved? I mean, consider that today. Just consider the word itself, saved. It speaks of a rescue. It speaks of something that needs to be done on your behalf. You can't do it. You don't have it. I need to be saved. See, you don't have the capacity to save yourself. That by the very word, it implies that you need a rescue, that you're in a desperate situation, that without Jesus coming to you and rescuing you, without him saving you, there is no salvation. You need a rescue. You need to be saved. So point one, the word save implies a great need. Genesis chapter 3. Verse 13 through 19. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, Thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. But from this point on, man has had a great need. From the time that Adam and Eve fell in sin, man has had a great need of a rescue. They've had a great need to be saved. That one would come and save them. That someone would come and rescue them. See, since the time of the fall, man has had a great need. He needs a rescue. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That means you. Everyone since Adam and Eve has had a great need of a rescue. There is no one outside of this. This is telling us that all men are under this curse, that all men need a rescue, that nobody gets fine. There is no loophole. There's no way around this. There's no way out. You need a rescue. All men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You need a rescue. All men have a great need. And understand also, death is the greatest communication that sin comes upon all men. Death is the communication that we are fallen in sin. If you can escape death, then there is no curse. If you can escape death, then there is no wage. That sin has not brought about the curse which brought death. If there is one on this earth that can escape death, then there is no curse. Well, understand, we're all going to die someday. That is the greatest communication to you today, that you are a sinner and you need a rescue. That you are of these ones in Romans chapter 5. All after Adam have sinned. By this one man, sin and death entered by sin and upon all men. So understand, there is no getting around this. There is no loophole. Death is the greatest communication to you today that you're a sinful creature, that you are under that curse. Death is the communication that sin has entered upon all men. Romans chapter 8. Verse 5 through 7. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Consider how desperate your situation is today. Consider, if you're lost today, how desperate your situation is. Not only do you need a rescue? But you're running from the one who can rescue you. You're naturally his enemy. You're naturally going in the 180-degree opposite direction of God. You are naturally in the flesh an enemy of God. That's you today if you're lost. There is no loophole. There's no disqualification here. If you are lost today, your natural state is to be an enemy of God. You need a rescue. And you don't have the capacity. Your capacity is to hate God. Your capacity is to run from God. Like Adam and Eve in the garden. What did they do when they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden? They hid from him. They ran away. They covered their shame with fig leaves and they ran away. They went the other way. They naturally, in their sin-cursed state, ran from God. And that's you today if you're lost. You are naturally an enemy of God. You naturally will go the other way. You naturally want nothing to do with him. You don't have any capacity for God today if you're lost. You don't have any capacity to save yourself. You don't have any capacity to choose Jesus Christ. You don't have it. You need a rescue. 2 Peter, and just as a disclaimer, you have to be careful. 2 Peter is primarily an address to false prophets. Understand that. But we see an application here. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. By his nature, a dog will return unto his own vomit. The dog never considers the vileness of his actions. And if you're lost today, you don't consider the vileness of your sinful condition. If you're lost today, you don't understand just how defiled and disgusting and vile you are before God as a sin-cursed creature. Without Jesus Christ, you are the most repulsive thing to God. Sin is a repulsive thing to God. You're vile, you're disgusting. By your own nature, you are broken. You are disgusting. You are vile before God by your nature. Jeremiah 13. Verse 23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Again, this is communicating to us, we don't have it. It's not in us. We don't have the capacity. It's not in us to fix this problem. We need a rescue. The very word saved is communicating that need. That I need a rescue. Scripture declares over and over, by our very nature, we are the enemy of God. By our very nature, we would rather do evil. We are accustomed to evil. We hate the light. We'd rather dwell in the darkness. Men hate the light. We need a rescue. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 1 through 3. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Understanding, Paul is communicating to the saved, but he's saying we've all started here. We all started here. Every single one of us, by nature, were the children of wrath. And you're dead in trespasses and sin. Death. It's how much clearer can this communicate? You don't have it. Obviously, we can understand this isn't speaking of physical death. It can't be. How could I read it if I'm physically dead? So what is it communicating to me? I am spiritually dead without Jesus Christ. If you are lost today, you are spiritually dead. You have no capacity for God whatsoever. Death. Now, the gospel, the way people would present a perverted gospel today, of this gospel of decision, of choice, of works, of any way you want to put it, does not communicate spiritual death. If I have any capacity to go to God to meet Him halfway to make a decision, then these scriptures are not telling, this is communicating death. What could Lazarus do to choose to get up out of that grave? He was dead. That is what it's communicating to you today if you're lost. You have absolutely no capacity for God. You have absolutely no capacity to choose Jesus Christ. You need a rescue. You need a rescue. Point number two, we have no power to save ourselves. As we stated earlier in our introduction, man's will, his work, His decisions have no bearing on salvation. So, not first of all, these we have a few sub-points here, but first of all, not by man's will. John chapter 1. Verse 10 through 13. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood. That is, not of lineage. We understand that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us and brings us into that place of adoption to be part of that family of God. But this is not speaking of that blood. This is speaking of lineage. That is, they're not because they're a Jew, not because they're a Gentile. Not of blood, not of lineage. Nor the will of the flesh. Not because I want it. Not because I desire it. Not because I choose it. Nor the will of man, but of God. There it is. There it is. It isn't man's will. It isn't his choice. It is of God. Romans chapter 9. Verse 11 through 16. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. You know, I like to use this as an illustration sometimes, just to illustrate this idea of man's will, his decision in his salvation. You can take any tragedy you like. I particularly use the Titanic because it's well known. But how many people, as that ship is sinking into the sea, willed to be saved? Consider that today. How many people upon that ship, as it was sinking, willed to be rescued? I will it. I decide that I'm not going to sink in the ocean today. I'm not going to die today. And yet, how many died? Consider every single one of them on that ship wanted to live. Every single one of them. Everyone chose to live another day. They desired it. They wanted it. They willed it. But unless someone come and rescue them, there was no rescue. If you need a rescue today, understand it isn't because you choose it. It isn't because by your will you say, God's going to save me. And that's how they present it today. Here, pray this prayer. Do this. Choose it. Choose Jesus. That's the Bible doesn't say that. It says believe. It says believe. Believe the gospel. Repent and believe. It doesn't say choose. It doesn't say make a decision. Believe. Ephesians chapter 1. So whose will? Whose will? Whose will was it that I'm saved today? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 5, and then we'll jump over to verse 11. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Why are you saved by the grace of God if you're saved today? Because God willed it. It was by his choice. And when did he choose? Before the foundation of the world. Before having done any good or evil. I mean, I stand here before you today as someone that absolutely has no doubt it wasn't based upon works. I can tell you that. If it was upon works, I have no hope. And I had no hope. There was absolutely no reason for God to save me other than he chose to before the foundation of the world. And Romans chapter 9 causes us to understand based on nothing upon what I did. And that includes some good action upon your choice, some good movement towards God. People like to try to explain away election today by saying that God, like a genie in a bottle, looked down through time and saw you doing something good, so therefore you're elect. That is not election. That is not biblical election. He set me apart before the foundation of the world for no other reason than he chose to. Because he loved me with an everlasting love. Because I was on the mind of God before he said, let there be light. I was already purposed to be found in his son. That's election. And that nothing of that hinges upon my will. None of that. Nothing. No part of that hinges upon me. And my good works, my choice, my will, my decision. So our second subpoint then is not by man's work. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What is a prayer? If someone was to tell you today to pray to be, you know, essentially presenting you with this idea that if you just repeat this prayer, you'll be saved. What is that? That's a work. I'd call that a work. That's something you did. That's a work. Right. You know, and I know people, I always like to put this disclaimer there, I know people that came up and were saved in an Armenian-type church, and the Lord truly did save them. And then later on, he revealed to them it had nothing to do with their prayer. Had not, but see, that is what is presented in many of these Armenian-type assemblies, if you will. They're telling you, if you just do this, you'll be saved. That's not true. It's not true. I mean, how many people have prayed that prayer, and a week later they're in the bar, and they never come back? So we know that it's not in the prayer. My own pastor, my older brother, was saved under that type of ministry. And yet, how many people did he watch come in and go out the next week? Come in, pray that same prayer he did, and leave and never come back. What was the difference? God didn't do anything there. He didn't put in a new heart. He didn't bring about a new birth. He didn't draw them. He didn't call them. It was they had a work. They were relying upon a work, and that work had no power to save. Romans chapter 6. Verse 23. Speaking of works. And understand in the Bible there are works and there are works. Works for salvation are the quickest way to hell. Works for salvation will damn you. Works for salvation, as Brother Randy Titus will put it, and make hell just a little hotter. You know, works will not save you. But there are works produced by faith. There are works that are in accordance with salvation. There are works that are proof or fruit or evidence that God has done a work in the heart. And see, understand. So when you read something like in James, show me thy faith by thy works. Or I'll show you my faith by my works. Excuse me. Yeah, there are works in accordance with faith. And in accordance with salvation, but works will not save you. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And understand this word wage. If you want to work for something, here's your wage. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift, when was the last time you worked for a gift? A gift is given without work, without merit. I give a gift because I love. There's the gift of God. But wages, you want to work your way to heaven, here's your wage. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Isaiah 64, verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Again, we're considering that man is not saved by his works. Look at what it says here in Isaiah. It's not saying all our bad works. It's saying all our righteousnesses. My best day would condemn me to hell. My best works, my righteousnesses, those things that I'm proud of, would condemn me to hell. They are unclean. They are stained with sin. That's our righteousnesses. That's not speaking of the bad stuff. That's speaking of our best works. You take your best works before God, it will condemn you to hell. There's no salvation in works. And this speaks of our best works. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 1 through 9. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous. But for you, it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. If there was any hope in works, Paul would have had it. If there were any hopes in works, see, we don't have anywhere near the righteous works of Paul. And yet Paul says, I throw them to the dunghill. I place no confidence in my works. And none of us can even come too close to the righteousness of Paul under the law. None of us can even come anywhere near that. And he casts it all aside. He casts it all aside for the excellency of Christ, the righteousness found in him. But our works, throw it away. Cast it aside. It's condemning, it's damning. If you're relying upon your works in any way, throw it to the dunghill. Because there's no hope. No hope in works. Again, and just we'll touch on this one, because it's another work that's out there today. Baptism does not save. Again, baptism is a work. And we understand baptism is an adding unto the church. We understand what baptism is. But we don't. You know, they think that just because you dunk somebody in water, a work, that they're saved. Well, first of all, the thief on the cross. Tell me, when was he baptized? When was he baptized? If baptism saves, when was that thief upon that cross baptized? But not only that, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 14 through 16. I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the house of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. If we were to read in Romans chapter 10, Paul would confess that my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. Paul had a desperate heart for the salvation of souls. And if there was any salvation in baptism, why then did he thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius and the house of Stephanus? If there was any hope in baptism in a salvational way, then why would he consider it so light in the ways in the means of talking when we're speaking of salvation? When we're speaking of the righteousness found in Jesus Christ, if baptism was it, then why isn't he getting people in the water? Because there's no salvation in baptism. It is a work. Not by man's decision or choice. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 again, verse 23 through 30. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Who chose? Who chose? Verse 27 and 28. God hath chosen. God hath chosen. God hath chosen. It was not by man's choice. John chapter 15. Verse 15 through 19. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Again, who chose? It doesn't have anything to do with the choice of man. Psalm 65. Psalm 65 and verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. But consider again who chose. I did not choose. I could not choose, and by nature I would not choose. He had to choose me. And look at that. I love this verse because not only do we see election, but we see the irresistible grace of God. Those that he chooses, he draws. Those that he has chosen, he will also draw them. There's election and irresistible grace in one verse. Those that he chooses, he will bring them to the feet of Christ. And then point three. You know, we've considered it's not by man's will, it's not by man's work, and it's not by your decision or choice. We've considered you need a rescue. The very word implies, the very word communicates, you need a rescue. And I'm telling you that you can't will it, you can't work for it, and you can't choose it. So what must I do to be saved? That's what you should be asking yourself right now. He's telling me I can't do anything to save myself. He's telling me I need a rescue, and I have no capacity to fix it. I have no capacity to rescue myself. Then what must I do to be saved? Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verse 6 through 8. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. If you've been listening tonight and you are lost, you need to desperately seek the salvation of God. I'm not telling you that you, what I'm telling you is you can't decide and you can't work for it and you can't choose it. But I can tell you that the Lord is a very able Savior, that He is plenteous in mercy, that if you'll turn to Him tonight, He will save your soul. That if you've been troubled by the fact that you are in a desperate situation and that you need a rescue, He will save. Seek Him while He may be found. Seek Him while He may be found. He will abundantly pardon. Isaiah 45. Verse 20 through 22. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations, that have no knowledge, that set up the wood of their graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Seek the Lord while He may be found. He is the Savior. He is the one that can save your soul. You are in desperate need of a rescue. And there is only one that can rescue you. You must look to Him. He is your only hope. There is no hope in a man. There is no hope in a... You could take the best, the most zealous Baptist pastor you've ever met, and he has no capacity or ability to save you. You can go to the godliest person you know. He has no capacity or ability to save you. There is one. Jesus Christ, His sacrifice on the cross, His death and burial and resurrection, faith in what He did upon that cross, believing that He did that for me, that is enough to save me. That is what you need if you're lost tonight. You need to believe that the Son of God was sufficient, that His death, burial, and resurrection, it can save me. There's nothing else that can. God has made the way of salvation. There is no other way. Mark chapter 2. Verse 16 and 17. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw Him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto His disciples, How is it that He eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, He saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Understand, no man is whole. No man is whole. He's communicating to these Pharisees, you need to realize you're sick. You need to realize that you have a need before you can believe upon me. And that's you tonight if you're lost. You must first realize you're sick. You must first realize you're sick with sin. You must first realize that this sin condemns me to hell, and justly so. You must come to that place where you're sick of yourself. You're sick of sin, and you understand I have no hope outside of Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can help me. And to close, Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. This is the only hope you have tonight if you're lost. This is it right here. Verse 14 and 15 of Mark chapter 1. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel. There's your hope. There it is. God has made the way. He sent His Son to die upon that cross to make the way. He has made the way for you tonight. If you're lost, and you know you need a rescue, repent. That is, have a desire to turn away from you, from all your thoughts and wicked, sinful desires, and everything about you. Be sick of that. Are you sick of that tonight? And have a desire to turn away and turn to God. Fall before Him and beg His mercy. Amen. And you can, because of Jesus Christ. There is a way. There is a way to beg His mercy, and that is through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But we'll stop there and turn the services back over to Brother Dan.